For the first time in 3 years, brave American patriots will be able, in court, to show how the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. For those rhinos, radical left Democrats, communists, Marxists, fascists, and others who say, don't look back, look forward. They either do not want to reveal the answers because they got away with murder, or are fools and cowards because we know that if we don't find out the reason, it could happen again, and we're not going to let it happen again.
Folks, we had a great reaction to the last several videos. Many have been watching. We released one early the other day. I apologize for that. Many probably didn't see the notification. It was released like 7 in the morning Eastern time. Anyway, you've all worked hard to ensure that the information that needs to get out to the public is happening because you're sharing it. Our views are up, and thank the Lord, they are increasing. So I just want to thank you all for your support. We will see today how the 2020 stolen election will be made public on YouTube, remembering the importance of reporting their evil plans. We're going to see a young man who stands tall against tyranny. Watch Oprah support dissipating as she tries to raise money and it doesn't work the way they wanted. We're going to hear from Oliver Anthony talk about bring his testimony up to Joe Rogan out of all people. And we're in for a treat today. We're going to have a couple of good little goodies today, okay? So what I'm showing you is Trump Tower, and then you've got the Remnant Revolution Tour. Let me start with this. In Trump Tower, there in Vegas, everyone got together, and they started singing the National Anthem. So I just wanted you to hear this, and then we're going to, at the end of this video, have another portion happen. Check this out. Just sending this video. We've got a second part to show you here a little bit later. And you're looking at Jamie there, and you've got an Am We Know shirt in the background. Pretty cool. So we're looking forward to, I just make a little quick announcement that we're looking forward to doing this next year, August, as we put a Christian group has helped us that's been doing it for many, many years, a cruise. We're going to actually be having an And We Know cruise next year in August. I'll be giving out more information. Those that are fellow members will get the first update on all of that. And then we'll let you guys know when that is available, when you can sign up for it. And I'm looking forward to just gathering with folks and having a good time. And I'll be announcing who's going to be there and more as we solidify that whole thing and we celebrate together as we enjoy our freedom. So here's a little clip from President Trump.
Left-wing lunatics are trying very hard to bring back COVID lockdowns and mandates with all of their sudden fear-mongering about the new variants that are coming. Gee whiz, you know what else is coming? An election. They want to restart the COVID hysteria so they can justify more lockdowns, more censorship, more illegal drop boxes, more mail-in ballots, and trillions of dollars in payoffs to their political allies heading into the 2024 election. Does that sound familiar? These are bad people. These are sick people we're dealing with. But to every COVID tyrant who wants to take away our freedom, hear these words: we will not comply. So don't even think about it. We will not shut down our schools. We will not accept your lockdowns. We will not abide by your mask mandates. And we will not tolerate your vaccine mandates. They rigged the 2020 election, and now they're trying to do the same thing all over again by rigging the most important election in the history of our country, the 2024 election, even if it means trying to bring back COVID. But they will fail because we will not let it happen. When I'm back in the White House, I will use every available authority to cut federal funding to any school, college, airline, or public transportation system that imposes a mask mandate or a vaccine mandate. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you very much there, President Trump. And that's the type of leadership that we need, for sure.
The White
Definitely
House.
Definitely love to hear that message. And I think it's resonating with folks because I was looking at some updates today. I'll have to come up with some more research, but it looks like it's backfiring. People are already telling these organizations in different states, if you think you're going to get by with this, you better stop. And I'm getting other messages from people saying that they're actually mandating masks in different places, Colorado and some others. So anyway, we'll have to keep on top of that, but keep fighting. And it kind of reminds me of something. Let's see. Actually, just thought of this. The other day, I went to a military base. And I walked in and thought, man, isn't it interesting that somebody walked up to me, a couple of folks, and they said, hey, excuse me, you have to take your hat off while working out in the gym. And I said, well, I'm a United States citizen. You can't impose that rule. And they said, well, we've got a mandate here, and it states that you can't wear it because of health reasons. I said, oh. Well, I'm not taking my hat off, and I'm going to leave so you guys don't have any trouble. And as I walked out, because I am not going to comply to that stupidity, I asked them, the young folks there, because they don't know, you know, they just have to do their job. They just, you know, worship at the altar of whatever God that's telling them to do that because they don't know how to fight back. I said, hey, I just have a question for you. The head is attached to the neck, and you guys imposed mask restrictions, right, during this thing called COVID. And they said, yeah. I said, well, that's interesting because you were telling people to wear something on your face, on your head, that restricted oxygen while you're working out. Yet you're telling me for health reasons I can't wear something on my head, a hat. Do you guys realize what's going on here? It's really stupid. And I turned around and walked out. Not sure if they thought, no, this old man doesn't know what he's doing or whatever, or they got a good chuckle out of it. But anyway, just want to let you know sometimes I have to deal with stuff like that, just like you guys. All right. And that's the least of our problems. We got a whole lot of issues to go through. One of them is George Papadopoulos, G17, caught this, posted at 8:05 p.m. that Trump's Georgia trial will be televised. Oh, yeah, it'll be on YouTube is what we're hearing and what we're catching. And if you look at that post at that time, 20:05 would be the military time, has President of the United States made a statement since being elected that didn't end up being proven factually true? Everything stated by the POTUS will be made public. Follow the leader. You know, he has it all. That's why we had the thumbnail. I put that together. It's just thinking it through and in prayer. Digital footprint. Everything was gathered, folks. Follow the leader. Focus here. And here's just a statement from President Trump on an interview recently about the 16-year plan to destroy America.
Good thing. But look, you know, I've turned things up and I've turned them around. And this was not supposed to be the plan. The plan was that Hillary Clinton would win, that she'd go in and she'd, you know, do things that most people would not like to see done. and she, didn't run a great campaign. I mean, the deplorables, who would have thought that was going to be so bad? The deplorables deal didn't work. But Biden was much worse. Look, we...
She had a plan. She was part of a plan by nefarious people, very evil folks who wanted to destroy America, create a one-world system, get rid of our borders, cause war and chaos throughout the entire earth. As a matter of fact, I had a talk with someone. Man, I've been talking to a lot of folks recently about different things, but it was my chiropractor and I was asking questions, and somebody knew that I've been going to and said, yeah, President Trump's a great leader and he's been doing great things for our nation. And he said, are you serious? He's in trouble. He's going to get in, you know, he's going to be arrested and he's going to be put away, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, obviously you haven't been keeping up, but you know that television over there, when you turn on the news, it's lying to you. It's like, yeah, I've heard that. And, well, yeah, let me give you a little history lesson. And I went through in detail everything I could while I was being adjusted and going through the machine that adjusts your muscles and whatever. But I've got chronic back problems and a lot of issues there. But anyway, wanted to just let you know that we're always out there. We always have to fight and we always have to, you know, throw our support out and show us, you know, who we stand for and why. This guy came out of nowhere and we needed a strong leader to take these people out because, man, without them, what would happen? He knew what he was doing. He had a great team behind him. And I think they still have a great team. And here's one of those, General Flynn, talking about why he supports President Trump.
So why do I stand with this guy? And it's not so much that I stand with Trump as an entity, like a lot of people. You know, people are enamored, they want to get photos, they want to get a signed hat. I stand with Trump because right now, unless it's a guy like you or somebody else out there, right now he's the warrior that has put himself and his entire family, his entire enterprise, you know, on the docket to help this country. I know one thing about Trump. Trump loves America. He dearly, dearly loves America. And when you see somebody in their sort of worst moments, and there was times, and particularly during the 2016 campaign, that I saw him like that, you know, or that I had conversations, you know, intimate conversations with him about this country. Because we met 2015, right? I'm not like some, you know, long lost buddy from New York that played baseball with him, right? I mean, and he loves his family. So when I saw him do things for people, for just the regular guy or regular gal, I saw him do things when nobody else was looking. In the military, you know, you're judged. You're judged by what you do when nobody else is looking. Mm. Okay, your standard is your standard when nobody else is looking. You know, you're a lieutenant, you're a private, you're told pick up the cigarette butts, right? And maybe you're walking down the street and nobody's telling you to do it, but you do it because you just know it's the right thing on a military base or on your yard, right? Somebody throws trash in your yard, nobody's, you know, whatever. This is a guy that loves this country. He loves the direction of this country. He wants to be just like it is, or just like the Constitution allows, where we have another element. We have a very dangerous element in this country, very dangerous. And when they say, they point at me and they go, he's a threat to democracy. This isn't a democracy. This is a constitutional republic. But they never say he's a threat to the constitutional republic. You don't hear the parrots out there going,
what do you fear?
Interesting, huh? Great to hear from a 3-star general. What it takes to get there is absolutely amazing. And it reminded me, while he was talking about those that do things behind the scenes that you don't see, it reminded me just real quick, might as well just talk about this book that I wrote, my autobiography, Beyond the Microphone, in case you guys haven't gone there. I talk about that in one of my chapters called My Three Kings. And it discusses the three generals that changed my life in the Marine Corps, in that they did things that a lot of folks don't see. Their leadership skills were absolutely impeccable. And they all had one thing in common. And if you pick up the book and read that chapter, you'll find it amazing. We're going to be updating that book in the future. I'll be telling you about that. But tell you what, you guys don't want to miss it. And great stuff there. Wanted to share something else from that. I wasn't going to do this, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and play this. While he was in that interview, General Flynn mentioned something about knowing where the bodies are buried.
I have to go back to the big question, right? Which was what you guys have been asking me. Why? Why? Because you're looking at a guy who knows where the bodies are buried, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I know exactly what rugs to look under. I know exactly what things to shut down. Because there are, in this country, there are billions and billions and billions and billions times whatever you want to, you know, throw in there that are spent on things that no longer matter to the security of this country, and we should be totally refocusing on sort of this world that we're going into. Because we, you know, the longest serving empire in the history of the world, I think, is still the Islamic Empire, like 1,200 years. How did they survive for so long? And you can go back and look at all that and go, okay, wow, they lasted a long time. Why? So can the United States of America, can this empire, how much longer? Can we go another 250 years?
Let's hope.
You almost have to ask the question, why? Why do they still fear me? Why? Why do they fear me?
Well, you said because you know where the bodies are buried.
I already laid that out. Mm-hmm. They fear me because they have zero control over me. And my control mechanism is based on what's best for our country.
Mm-hmm. They have zero control over me. And I saw him at some of the events. I wasn't at the one in Vegas, but I did go to an event and I saw and met him. And we also had an interview, but he has a lot of protection. That's for sure, and he needs it based on this enemy that we're fighting. So I wanted to show you some more. I think I'll go ahead and show you a little bit later about his thoughts towards Obama and the fact that he never met him and why Obama felt like he had to be on this list of two people to watch out for when he was talking to President Trump. General Flynn was one of those. Huh. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? We got a lot more to share. I'm going to be going through quite a bit, and we're going to talk about this young man, a brave warrior for truth in his school. We're going to show some clips from Julian Assange. We need to remember him and the warrior he is as a journalist. We're going to talk about Oliver Anthony and show him later on as he talked with Joe Rogan. I want to show you that whole clip where he shares his testimony. I want to talk about that. I listened to almost the entire interview. Very touching. When it got to a certain point, but I'll explain that a little bit later. What I do want to share with you today, real quick, is our website, guys, andweknow.com. I know I bring this up all the time, but again, we're working on it. We're going to make some more changes here in the future. And it's absolutely amazing site, andweknow.com. When you go there, you'll see that we have a fellowship program. I brought this up in the last video, but I wanted to kind of touch on it a little bit more, not a little more, but just kind of give you a quick heads up and update. I'm always looking for ways for my sons to help out, and we're always trying to think of new ways to reach out to people and try to connect, okay? And so in doing that, one of the ways that I thought of this, and I think of this all the time is, and I get reinforced is, you know, I thought, well, you know, what are other folks doing out there that have families? And I listen to almost every Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty book as I was traveling and listened to their sons and their testimonies and had great talks about, you know, with my family about them. I'd love to meet them, but nobody reaches out to me. I don't think anybody knows them out there. I'd love to talk to them on their unfiltered show. But anyway, this is my son. One of my sons, and he's been working hard on this thing called Discord that I don't understand too well. He's trying to help me understand that you can connect with people through Discord, and he wants to get us together more where I'm able to answer questions and talk with folks that want to, you know, raise their hand in Discord that belong to this fellowship program that we developed to give people an opportunity to get closer in, you know, talking to me and more. So I want to play a clip where he explains this, and this is something we sent to the fellow members, not the entire video, but just a clip from it.
Fellowship member, this is Octeam, And then this is the fellowship members chat. As you can see, we got Michael saying howdy and another person there. And then there's the fellowship call down here where every month or every week we'll get together and hear all the fellows, me and LT, and we'll just do fellowship program.
Awesome. So part of that program is something that a lot of folks have been interested in, is they're able to ask questions and we can go through those, correct? So you have questions to go through right now, right?
Yes. Starting with the first one. What are your thoughts on the election for 2024, and what do you think the turnout will be?
Wow. That's a loaded question right there. So I'd like to ask you, as a young man, what do you think? So I put him on the spot. And he gave a good answer. And I love all my sons. Got four sons and a daughter. And just think about them all the time. You just think about your family all the time. You know, what can we do? How can we help? Guide and direct them, especially in the Word of God. And we've actually been trying to spend some more time just opening up our paper Bibles at the table, having our five-minute devos, which always end up to be an hour, hour and a half. But I always say 5 minutes so they don't think it's going to last very long, right? But it always goes longer, and we end up enjoying ourselves and just talking to each other about things in the Word of God. I mean, we were just talking about it's not good for man to be alone in Genesis chapter 2, I believe. And we talked about Adam, and he looked at the animals, and you know, he was given a lesson. First, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Then he gave him made Adam feel bad because, you know, there was nothing compatible for him, put him to sleep, and then Eve came out and he gave the greatest love poem ever, greatest love song ever. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Anyway, so I wanted to kind of just throw this out here too, folks. I know we're going to get back to this just real quick, because I love my family. Everybody does. They love their family. Bowlingbros.com, but if you go to YouTube, you're going to find my son, RT, and his brother.
You might remember it from...
So look at this bowling style, right here. Right.
Game one, let's go.
That's one son right there. And a spare. And messed that one up, but I tell you what, these guys do this two-handed bowling. It's really cool. Just want to plug them real quick and make sure that we have that for you guys to enjoy. And also, if you guys go to our website, andweknow.com, you'll find our gear. We've got so much there, hats and more. We've got this weekend our Labor Day sale starting now. 20% off site-wide. Use code LABORDAY20. Plus, get a free tote with any purchase of $100 or more. Use code FREETOTE. Sale ends 9/04/2023, September 4th. And you get my books. They're still marked down and have shipping for free. Really cool. So here's more great pictures of Patriots wearing our gear. Assange. Here we go. Ambassador
Bolton, thank you very much for joining me, first of all. Why is America so intent on bringing Julian Assange to unbelievably draconian justice of 175 years, i.e. the rest of his life in prison.
Well, I think that's a small amount of the sentence he actually deserves. He's committed clear criminal activity. He's no more a journalist than the chair I'm sitting on. The information that he divulged did, in fact, put many people in jeopardy. It undercut the ability of the United States to have confidential diplomatic communications, not just with other foreign governments, but in many countries with dissidents, people who, even speaking to American diplomats, could find themselves in trouble. And so, you know, he's been complaining about his treatment over the past period of time. He's the one who sought asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy. Now he faces extradition to the United States. I presume he will get due process in the United Kingdom to determine whether extradition should go forward. And when he gets to the United States, he'll get due process here. And I hope he gets at least 176 years in jail for what he did.
Stella?
Well, of course, Ambassador Bolton is kind of the ideological nemesis of Julian.
As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work.
As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat.
During his time for the Bush administration and later the Trump administration, sought to undermine the international legal system, ensure that the U.S. is not under the International Criminal Court's jurisdiction. And if it was, Mr. Bolton might, in fact, be prosecuted under the ICC. He was one of the chief cheerleaders of the Iraq War, which Julian then exposed through these leaks. So he has a conflict of interest here.
Ambassador Bolton?
Well, that's ridiculous. I have an opinion. So does Assange's wife. I guess we both get to speak them.
But we are far from achieving justice in this case because Julian has been incarcerated for so long and he should not have spent a single day in prison. If there had been justice, the officials who plotted, who conspired to murder Julian would be in the courtroom right now. If there were justice, the crimes that Julian exposed, war crimes, the killing of innocent civilians, would not be impugned. Our fight goes on, and we will fight this until Julian is free.
Clip Assange-a-thon has been playing out, this hashtag Assange-a-thon, and calling the world. This is from Raiden, the official X thread for Assange-a-thon. Hashtag Assange-a-thon 2023 second annual. Entheos has asked that we post personalized messages here for Julian below, which can be written, audio, or make a video of yourself talking about his political persecution and how important his freedom is to you. Retweet to everyone. Michelle Schomburg, thank you, Julian. May your deserved freedom come soon and pour blessings on you and your family. We are blessed to have you on this planet with us. You will go down in history as a hero. And many of these clips that were posted, you can see Nuremberg, hashtag Nuremberg 2. You can see Estonia, Pete Buttigieg, Rachel Maddow, Revolutionary War, trending in the United States, and trending together yesterday. Imagine that. Thank you, Julian, for your selflessness, unconditional love of the people. May God bless you. And so many more messages for Julian Assange and his family and his wife. Lots of support. Honks and cars stopped by to thank us for our action. That was Assange Defense Connecticut. Special shout out to Christopher, Joshua, and Rolf. Connecticut stands with Julian Assange. Good job there. And Scotty added another clip there. So I wanted to take you to something else that's in your description box below. And this is Pepe Lives Matter. Had a post about Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks revelations that changed the world. In case you guys didn't know, you're new to all of this. Julian Assange is not only being persecuted for exposing war crimes by the military-industrial complex, but for insinuating that Seth Rich was the source of the internal DNC, Democrat National Committee, emails given to WikiLeaks. They say he was murdered by a simple robbery, but Assange strongly insisted that Seth Rich was actually the source and that he was subsequently murdered for his rejection of the corrupt establishment. If this were true and he was allowed to speak it, who then ordered the hit job against this man? Don't believe me? Then listen to Assange suggested in his own words right here.
Donald Trump has had a disastrous few weeks. If you look at the polls, he needs a miracle. In the American political lexicon, there's such a thing as the October surprise. The stuff that you're sitting on, is an October surprise in there? Do you even know what you're sitting on?
WikiLeaks never sits on material. Our whistleblowers go to significant efforts to get us material and often very significant risks. As a 27-year-old who works for the DNC, who was shot in the back, murdered just 2 weeks ago for unknown reasons as he was walking down the street in Washington. So
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So
What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
we don't comment on who our sources
are. But why make
the- don't comment on who our sources are. And he tried to say it was a robbery, yet nothing was stolen, guys, from Seth Ridge. So many believe and have believed for a long time that Seth Ridge was taken out. Assange responded to Adam Schiff's claim that the DNC leak was by Russians by pointing out the United States has interfered in at least 81 elections since 1950, and the WikiLeaks email proved the DNC rigged the primary against Bernie Sanders for Clinton. From our perspective, we have published accurately and fairly that Hillary Clinton said her positions were in her secret speeches in any relation to the DNC and its attempt to rig the primary to exclude Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't from the Russian state, right? CNN came out to belittle investigations into Seth Rich's death by calling it a conspiracy theory and claiming we should have focused on the now debunked Trump-Russia collusion hoax, which we now know for a fact was paid for by none other than Hillary Clinton through the Steele dossier. They brought out a soy boy to tell us this was a conspiracy, yet it was Assange himself who kept insinuating that Seth was the source of the leaks. Mm-hmm. So they tried to cover it up. Newt Gingrich, as the mainstream media was focused on Clinton's bought and paid for Russia collusion hoax, we have this very strange story of this young man who worked for the Democrat National Committee, quote, who apparently was assassinated at 4 a.m, having given WikiLeaks something like 53 emails. Nobody's investigating that. It turns out it wasn't the Russians. It was this young guy who I suspect was disgusted by the corruption of the Democrat National Committee. Mm-hmm. Investigators went on to say he was killed by a debauched robbery, and CNN went on to claim that there was absolutely no evidence that he was the source. I'm sorry, but how is Assange basically winking at people, telling them that Seth was the source, but he can't tell you the evidence? And this article goes on and on about all of those and his work to bring out the truth. Okay, other folks were putting out all kinds of truth. Like, you remember the footage from the Biden inauguration in D.C., January 2021. Remember, there was it was a snowy kind of a day, overcast.
We're at the inauguration. It's the most bizarre scene you ever saw in your life. There's like 100 people at the Biden inauguration. And it's dystopian. So
as you were looking at this, we showed it long back then, that it was really awkward that you had overcast skies and kind of a snowy kind of day, but yet on TV it was this bright, sunny day. It seemed like they filmed it on two different days from another location, and they kept the media far away from it all, almost as if they didn't want folks to know that this thing was not what people thought it was, and we covered that in detail, and you can go back to my videos from that time right after the inauguration, and I proved to you beyond a shadow of a doubt pretty much that everything they showed us wasn't real. Not only that, we've had, again, remember Donald Trump's Georgia trials on RICO charges to live stream on YouTube. There it is. Judge rules the judge overseeing Donald Trump's election interference case in Georgia announced that the trial will be in live stream on YouTube. And you remember, as evidence right here, President Trump's signing of his as evidenced by his signature below, he waived formal arraignment and he entered a plea of not guilty. And I played in the intro this video clip, but we'll play it again.
For the first time in 3 years, brave American patriots will be able, in court, to show how the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. For those rhinos, radical left Democrats, communists, Marxists, fascists, and others who say, don't look back, look forward. They either do not want to reveal the answers because they got away with murder, or are fools and cowards because we know that if we don't find out the reason, it could happen again, and we're not going to let it happen again. All of the fraud, irregularities, and cheating, we cannot ever let a thing like that take place in the United States of America. Thank you very much.
Can't let it happen in the United States of America, although it's been happening for decades, and they're slowly put together the system so that we can wake up everyone who's asleep. There's still many others that need to be told the truth about all of this. President Trump said now it's learned that Governor Ron DeSantis unnecessarily approved a 20% hike in Florida electricity rates, the largest in history by far, after taking a $9.5 million campaign contribution from Money Machine, Florida Power and Light, and subsidiaries. Next up to check out is the insurance industry, where DeSantis gave up the store. His campaign and poll numbers have crashed to a point where it doesn't much matter anymore. But what a shame on Florida. What a shame. Also a shame would be this character freezing up again in front of the public.
Talk about what?
Running for re-election in 2026. Oh.
That's right.
Yeah, once again, freezes. Something's wrong with this guy. He's losing it. They walk over, try to touch him, try to talk to him, try to talk him out of it, to get him to talk again, and it's just not, it's not working. What's going on? It's almost like it's we're watching a robot. Really sad. And so moving forward, you guys know that the mainstream media, we always try to cover and show how they operate. The AP goes out, Trump dismissive as New York Attorney General accuses him of inflating his net worth by $2 billion. Huffington Post jumps in, Bloomberg, Market Watch, New York Times, NBC News, ABC News. They're all on the same frequency, lying to the people. And there are so many that still read that stuff and believe it. Imagine if you could Google Biden and receive this level of coordinated talking points about the actual crimes committed by the Biden crime family. The Democrat Party would be dead in a day. These fake news outlets serve to protect Democrats, the Uniparty, and the corrupt criminals that control them. And that's it. And that's why we needed all types of exposure, and that's why it was great to have Assange, that's why it was great to have the Intel Board asking us questions, forcing us to go and work together to expose them for all of their crimes against humanity. Number one being crimes against children. Now that plays out in the school systems in many ways. They don't like the children to learn how to stand up for their rights. Some guy took exception.
Thank you. Do they know what the Gadsden flag
to
is?
The Gadsden flag.
So they're... the reason that they do not want the flag, the reason we do not want the flag displayed.
Let me bring this up. Imagine claiming that the iconic Don't Tread on Me flag is racist and must not be allowed in schools. The left wants to silence us, erase us, erase our history and cancel us. There's nothing more American than refusing to comply with tyrannical governments and systems. That's why, guys, I mentioned earlier, walking up and telling me to take my hat off while working out, which actually keeps the sweat from going in my eyes and actually is healthy to keep the hair from going all over the place. Oh, no, you can't do that. Our rules say you can't. Okay. Anyway, there's nothing more American than refusing to comply with tyrannical governments and systems that's embedded in the very core of this nation. Once the people awaken and realize the hidden slavery we've been under this entire time, there will be a generation rising up. All their attempts to make us subservient and docile will only harden our will to resist. Now, here's the flag, Don't Tread on Me, in case you're wondering. Somebody put Don't Tread on Jaden. They put his head on there. Pretty cool. But just wanted to show you what he went through as the parent was trying to explain. And he's, look at his smile. It's just amazing.
Okay. So he's, what's going to happen if he doesn't take it off? he is able to go. I was actually just telling him, like, I was upset that he was missing so much school. I'm like, so I asked if, can he just take his stuff out of his bag and go back to class? Like, I just want him to go back to class. The bag can't go back. It's got a patch on it because we can't have that in and around other kids. So that's what I was trying, and then he said you were close. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with slavery. That's like the Revolutionary War patch that was displayed when they were fighting the British. Like, that wasn't, that's the Revolution. Maybe you're thinking of like the Confederate Confederate flag.
Okay, I am just here to enforce. I am here to enforce the policy that was provided by the district. Okay. And definitely, you have every right to not agree with it. I mean,
absolutely. ACLU says that he's allowed to wear that if you like go.
Because so they go back and forth, and he's just sitting there just looking at both of them, you know, just sitting nice and wearing some, just, you know, very courteous. The director claimed the flag is associated with hate groups. And then I saw him go out and take a picture on social media, standing behind a woke teacher's car. He and his mom were on Hannity, I guess. Law firms have come forward to help fight the discrimination. Colorado government disagrees with the school, but thus far hasn't contacted them. I think this is old and outdated because I think they said they finally had a vote. Yeah, that's August 29th. I think they voted and they allowed him to then wear that patch. But yet he goes out on social media and shows the car that he's standing in front of. And he's letting people know, like, I'm not allowed to wear this patch, but look at all of the junk. Have America green again. Make America green again. I mean, you can imagine, like, they're allowed to have all kinds of patches and support all kinds of rights, yet he's not. And so here he is, just a quick little interview clip, and thought you guys might enjoy this.
If it didn't go viral, they'd probably suspend me.
What is your advice to the other teenagers or soon-to-be teenagers that are afraid to speak up?
I tell them to ponder this question. Would you rather have friends but live under a tyrannical system, or stand up for yourself and your right, but maybe lose a few friends? I mean, I sat at lunch alone today, which is weird. Like, my friends didn't like me. So, yeah, you will lose friends, maybe, but, however, you're standing up for your right and vouching for them. Because if no one stands up for your God-given right, then they just fade away. When I walk in the hallways, I kind of feel sad because there's kids that can wear pride pins and, like, the school doesn't say a word. A Gadsden flag is so-called a hate symbol.
The reason that they do not want the flag due to its origins with the slavery and slave trade.
I don't have the First Amendment. They don't give me it. That angers me.
This is a 12-year-old who's standing up against bullies, who is willing to fight for liberty and freedom. So I hope everybody is as inspired as I am, that we have 12-year-olds that understand the implications of the fight.
If it didn't go...
Interesting. Very good. And so I just want to do a shout-out to this young man, Jaden. Absolutely brilliant. And I would love to be able to talk to him someday about all of this and get it out to the public. On our side, it'd be really cool. And so all of this going on in the schools, and a student in, I think it's UK, gets kicked out of class for saying there's only two genders.
You're entitled to your opinion. If I am, then why would you kick me out of class? It's not very inclusive.
Can I finish my sentence, please? Not very inclusive. No, I'm sorry, what you were saying was not very inclusive. And this is an inclusive school.
Yeah, how was what I was saying?
Because I was saying that what's wrong with the website is that there are more than one gender in this country.
That's your opinion.
That is my opinion. And that is an opinion which is acceptable in the school. I'm afraid yours, which you're saying that there's no such thing as anyone other than male or female, is not inclusive.
Scientifically, there are just two genders.
I'm saying there's just two genders. He's having a fit. He's telling them to be quiet. He's like, that's your personal opinion. Well, that's my opinion. Well, how come you have an opinion and I can't have an opinion? They just go back and forth, and this guy's just losing it. Another thing that's happened recently would be the school boards, you know, these meetings where they read from these books that they're handing out to kids. And watch the reaction. Watch the reaction of one person.
Do you all want these books removed? Do you need a help too?
Yes, I would love it.
So this person, I believe, is a parent, is claiming they're upset because they want these sick porno books to be read to kids. and they wanted to put up a fight.
Do you have any questions? Do you need something?
I have a lot of questions.
Because my child never heard any of this stuff that you were reading her and your group were reading her.
See, so this parent who was reading the book to everyone on the board to let them know you don't need this sick stuff into the school, this parent, I believe is a parent, claimed that their child never heard this kind of stuff before. So instead of joining them and saying, wow, I never knew this was going on, it's, I'm going to fight for my right of my child to, you know, be able to have this book.
But I'm going
until
to,
we're in here.
I have a lot to read.
You know something? So then you're okay with, you are okay with reading this material verbally
okay
to a 13-year-old little girl?
System. You're okay
you
with
DEI.
You are
okay with this. You
you're okay with diversity,
the
equity, and inclusion.
Due process
you're okay
to come
with
in
Pride
here
Month.
And read this
you're
stuff aloud
okay
to my child.
The rainbow flag.
You're okay with Pride Month, the rainbow flag, and more. And he's letting this person know what's going on. And you can see they've been through a lot of trauma, and you can tell by all the markings. And it's sad. They need our prayers and more. So a lot of things that are going on there. 7.2% of U.S. adults identify as LGBT. In 2022, the percentage of U.S. adults here, Gen Z, was 19%, Millennials, 11%, Generation X, 3%, and Baby Boomers, 2%. Why do so many young adults identify as LGBT? What is going on? Why are they pushing this? And why would the this guy points out Africa must wake up? He puts this together.
Arrogance of the Americans. The bulliness of the Americans. Let me even throw it on the West Side.
Now, we were talking about when he says Americans, remember he's talking about the tyrannical government setup that was put in front of us. We're forcing all of their junk on all of us day in and day out. And so when he says America, he's talking about the freaks like Biden, the Clintons, Obamas, and more.
Right now comes to Tanzania, comes to Ghana, comes to Zambia with 16 million. And guess what? 16 million only for Zambia. The 16 million, ask me, what is it for?
What is it for?
For human rights. Across the river, China and Russia come into South Africa. Ask me for what?
For what? For
okay, so again, he's just saying, hey, they come over here and they're trying to tell us, hey, we'll give you money. We want you to, you know, stick with our agenda for, you know, doing sick, evil things, LGBT and more. And yet you've got other countries that come in, like South Africa and Russia, China, excuse me, and Russia coming across the river, and they're saying, hey, we want to provide training and security for you guys. They're not pushing the transgender homosexual agenda like what he says America does, and they're trying to do to them.
Leave us to do.
It's interesting is that the stuff airs throughout social media, many people sharing it and more. And again, folks found this from 9 years ago when it was when it comes to sharing truth about weather modification and more. And when they do these things that we've seen happen in Maui, which I want to show you real quick, it makes you wonder even more what they were doing behind the scenes and how they were playing this out for all of us. They're trying to raise money. I mean, we've gone through this over and over again, folks, all of the weird things in Maui and how this played out and why it doesn't seem like it's what they say it is. But when Oprah goes out and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and they're trying to get people to fund Maui, look what happens to them as they're looking for money. Look, this proves to us more and more that we're awake.
I have an update.
The People's Fund of Maui.
Oprah's video has been up for the majority of the day, raking in a good 400,000 views and a simply astonishing ratio, but has only managed so far to raise $3,440,000, with a good chunk of that being this anonymous donor up here. But look at this. This is from Dwayne Johnson's video with the little donor icon, and he has raised $1,660,000. So a total of about $5,000 with over 1 million views between the two of them. But look at this anonymous donor right here at $500. Anonymous them donating to their own fund to make it look legit, to maybe even dabble into your competitiveness to wanting to be the highest donor. Keep sharing the video and keep the comments to not disappoint. Listen, I have seen videos from people who are liberal with pronouns. I have seen videos from people from the right. I have seen videos from all people from all walks of life telling other people not to donate to this. We're going to make Oprah eat that $10 million. And let me tell you something else. There are more people out here who are awake than I think we even realize. This had happened even maybe just 2 years ago, okay? Everybody would have fallen all over it. They would have raised $10, $20 million by the end of the day. And they barely broke $5,000.
Yeah.
This is it. This is how we cancel them.
That's how we cancel them. That's working. We're getting them even more, and there's all kinds of coincidences right in Maui. There are great points that have been brought up by many. for us to just remember. And I wanted to play this clip once again about the coincidence and the great points made here.
So it's just a coincidence that the police chief was the same man in charge of the Las Vegas shooting. And it's just a huge coincidence that property owned by millionaires and billionaires like Jeff Bezos, Oprah, and the founder of PayPal remained untouched while the land of the natives burned only a few feet away, literally. And it's just a huge coincidence that the island had the largest system of outdoor sirens in the world, yet they decided not to sound them or alert anybody in any way. And it's just a huge coincidence that they closed all of the schools, sent all of the children home, and turned off the water as soon as the fires started so that people couldn't put them out. And it's just a coincidence that under orders, policemen blockaded the exits, didn't allow anyone to evacuate, and forced them to jump in the water to save their own lives. And it's just a coincidence that the island is set to be the very first to operate on 100% renewable energy. And to do so, they must significantly decrease their CO2 emissions. And it's just a huge coincidence that 1 month prior to the fires, the mayor issued a press release highlighting his commitment to the United Nations 2030 agenda of sustainable development. And it's just a coincidence that Hawaii is the only state to have submitted a voluntary local review, which is a framework and goal set to achieve sustainable development. And it's just a huge coincidence that BlackRock and the United States government are two out of the three largest landowners on the island who have been trying to buy up the land from the natives for the past few decades, who refuse to sell, and both of them are part of the renewable energy agenda. And it's just a huge coincidence that the survivors' homes that are still standing are now being evicted. And it's just a coincidence that the fact checkers saying that all of this is a coincidence are owned by BlackRock. At this point, if you believe that all of these are coincidences.
Yep. So there we go. Updates coming from folks working hard to make sure that this information gets out. Also, this clip shared from 9 years ago on CBS. What can they use to change the weather and cause issues?
Lasers? Really? To change the weather?
That's right. Well, as Mark Twain once famously said, everyone complains about the weather, but no one ever does anything about it. Well, instead of doing a rain dance, we physicists are firing trillion-watt lasers into the sky to actually precipitate rain clouds and actually bring down lightning bolts.
Beanie, go ahead.
Well, this is fascinates me in part because, too, I remember reading the stories that China had used this during the Olympics, that the USSR had used this after Chernobyl to create rain clouds. I mean, did those really work then? We have some of these capabilities now?
Inconclusive. Even in the 60s, the CIA used this to bring down monsoons during the Vietnam War to wash out the Viet Cong. Governments have been playing with this thing.
Alleged to.
Alleged to, right.
Yeah.
Now, we realize that for decades now, these governments have been alleged to have experimented with weather control, but nothing conclusive. This time we're bringing in the laws of physics rather than simply waving our hands and uttering mumbo jumbo. We're actually using trillion-watt lasers now. And in the laboratory, sure enough, they precipitate rain out of water vapor. Sure enough, you can actually bring down electricity down the beam. Firing trillion-watt lasers, you rip apart the electrons, creating what are called ions. And these ions act like seeds, like dust particles, bringing down rain and even lightning.
How about that? 9 years ago, climate control out there for all of us to see. Controlling weather, controlling the wind over Maui, controlling fires or out of control fires. And these folks, these evil ones, I hope they face what's coming to them. I mean, it's becoming blatantly obvious, folks, more and more every day, what their plan was and how they were trying to put this out for all to see. I mean, really obvious. So I wanted to turn from all of these areas that we've been noticing of debauchery and evil and more, and all the good things that we're seeing from great patriots like Jaden, the fact that they're going to air the 2020 stolen election information for all to see, the fact that Assange is still away and we need to pray for him and his family, the fact that we've got supporters like General Flynn showing why President Trump is who he says he is. While all this is playing out, we still have people's lives changing dramatically on the Remnant Revolution Tour. Robert and Jamie. You guys know they're Banners for Freedom. And they've been out, and they were recently in the Vegas area baptizing folks. They've been reaching out. Folks have been reaching out and saying, hey, I'd like to get baptized by you also. And they sent me an update, and they also wanted folks to know that they have 15 baptisms lined up in Williams, Arizona, the Saturday that we are heading to Albuquerque, New Mexico, Monday to do baptisms in the river. Saturday the 9th, we have no more room for Williams, Arizona, but maybe you can share about the event upcoming in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So folks, if you go in the description box below, you'll see the Remnant Revolution tour link, and you can reach out to them. And I thought, you know, it was interesting, these guards came out and they, you know, tried to stop them from doing their baptisms, and it was great to see these folks as he brought this up, and I'm going to talk a little bit more as they share. Here we go.
No baptisms. Radisson Policy, and that's at Treasure Island. You can swim, you can drink beer, you can do all that, but if you say the name of Jesus whenever you're swimming and you put somebody under the water, that is against the law, or against.
Yeah, let me see. I'm sorry.
That is against the law or against their policies.
So cool. And so they found another place. Somebody opened up, an Amwino fan actually opened up their house to have baptisms, and he walked through. And I wanted to talk about it a little bit here as we go through the baptisms in the water. I think this is absolutely amazing as we play this here. You guys ready? It's hard to scroll down when you play at the same time.
Also, testimony.
Right here.
We're proud of you, brother.
Thank you.
Yes. We had an amazing conversation.
Kind of nervous, but.
The other day. You were asking the right question.
So, yeah, here it's one baptism after another, the tears, the flowing. Just amazing. As we look back, I was thinking about all this, about, you know, Robert, Jamie first came out, and we were talking about them. They were trying to use their own personal money. I think it was like $800 they spent to put billboards up for Am We Know. They were just trying to do their part in what they felt the Lord was leading them to do. And their testimony is so amazing. And I said, you know, folks kept reaching out to me, and finally got a hold of them. We did an interview. And after that, I mean, just skyrocketed. God's been using them to do just mighty things across this entire earth for so many people. And to see them travel with their sons, meet people from all walks of life, and see the tears flowing, and see all the people affected by this has been absolutely amazing for me, my family, and so much more. So thank you for your support of them. Thank you for reaching out to them. And these last few baptisms. First time I saw this, I was in tears, man. Just drenched. Just wonderful folks. I mean, we're going through a lot on this earth, and it's just wonderful to know that we can call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and watch so many changed lives. Who knew that years ago, when my son, he saw him, RT, Robert, on to Dad, you should record yourself talking, because all the stuff you're sharing, I don't understand, but it's exciting what you're talking about. And man, since that day of opening that laptop and recording, so many lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just using us, just voices crying in the wilderness, to reach so many people with your message of hope and comfort and rest, which leads me to this portion of the video today. I know we've gotten kind of long, but you know, it's important today. We're getting into the weekend. You have all weekend to pause and play. And I saw this interview pop up, Oliver Anthony on the Joe Rogan show. Out of all the places to be, there he was with Joe Rogan. And I said, wow, I didn't know that he was called to Joe Rogan show to talk. And Joe Rogan's been doing a lot of exposure lately about a lot of things. So I said, well, let me go check out this entire video. And so I listened to it as I was driving around and trying to pay attention. And I was just, you know, amazed, and for one thing, that he was there, but two, that Joe Rogan in the first half just shares all of his beliefs, what he thinks, and it was basically kind of the opposite of what we as believers in the Lord God would state or say. But you know, we understand, you know, the thought process behind the world, and so there was a lot of you know, that type of information. There's a lot of you know, language that was used and more. And I said, well, I wonder if he's ever going to bring up his testimony, how that's going to work out. And finally, it was interesting because there was a turning point in the interview about the middle where Joe got real quiet. He was talking a lot in the beginning, just talk. He just kept cutting off, in my opinion, cutting off Oliver Anthony's, it's not his real name, but it's what he uses as a stage name, I think, because of his grandfather's singing career, the way that he sang and whatever. So that's another part of the story. But I put in the description box below so you can listen to it. But what's really interesting is when that turning point happened, I believe Joe Rogan asked him like three or four times, what in the Bible did you see? What was it that you read in the Bible, or what part of the Bible did you read, or something like that? So I want to play this clip. It's about 7 minutes long of him just explaining what happened in his life and the change up to this point, and it was brilliant.
I kind of had this breakdown moment and decided that I was going to let whatever ego I had go, and just at this point it's like I knew I didn't have much left in for me anyway, and I wanted to serve whatever purpose it was that I was here to serve. It's like you get this just overwhelming feeling in you. I was just crying like a baby, just this very like warm feeling throughout me, and that really hasn't gone away since. Like I'm not the guy that can play in front of 12,000 people on guitar. I would be like, I mean, I had never played a paid gig. When we played the show at the farm market where Jamie Johnson showed up, that was my first paid gig. Like, I'm not a guy to go out and play live shows, but I can tell you I was so like, I was just so at peace being up there. Like, it just felt like that's where I was supposed to be. And with all of this, it has been like, there's no way that Chris from 6 months ago could handle what's gone on the last 2 weeks, but I feel just so empowered from all of it. And I don't know, I'm telling you, like, again, I'm not anybody special, and I'm certainly not here to preach to anybody, but just from coming from somebody who was just like, and I use that word like with discretion, but in this case it describes like where I was. Like, that guy found a lot of peace, like, from this book and
from looking at things in a different way.
Yeah.
From looking at things through the eyes of Scripture.
And I think for me, it was like, I'd been in church growing up, and I'd been exposed to all of that, but I'd found a lot of theatrics and a lot of politics in church and in religion when I was younger. And so it just immediately turned me off to it.
So if you can take us to like, what was like the day you picked it up? What was the feeling that you had? Like, what caused you to act? What was it like when you did it?
Yeah, I mean, I'd been reading it here and there often.
He's talking about reading the Bible, okay, when he said picked it up. So if you listen to the whole interview, you'll see. And I'm going to play this in a second. Just pause here, everyone. I just want you to know. He shared how the reason he uploaded those songs is because he thought that was it. His life was going to end. He was in a lot of pain physically. He thought something was wrong with him. He was having all kinds of spasm, pain. He was doing all kinds of stuff, and he just like, this is it. I'm done. I'm going to upload my songs so that if I die, folks will have it for remembrance and will carry on through my family. And man, he just went through some very dark things. And then he explained to Joe Rogan that, you know, that he was reading the Bible and it changed him. 99% of the change that happened wasn't from all these, from self-help stuff or whatever. It was because he picked up the Word of God and gave his life totally to the Lord. Check this out.
And I had for like off and on for a long time, like, because I was introduced to it as a kid, but it was really just like, I remember I went to the ER for everything that was going on. I mean, I thought I was seriously going to die. Like, I was having shooting pains up under my jaw, down in my wrist, in my leg, like just cardiovascular 101 symptoms. Of course, I'm 31. I had been like, I could run 4 miles without stopping, no problems. So, like, I knew my heart was strong, but
you
I just
freaking out.
Yeah, but I went and did that, and I remember being in the truck after that, just like, and I just had a breakdown moment. I was just crying, and was just I just felt hopeless, like almost the way a child feels hopeless when they, you know, like you can't find your parent or something, like a 4-year-old that can't find his parents or something. I was just like, just didn't have anything left in me. And I don't know. I just decided, like, right then and there, I was like, I know I can't do this anymore. And, but I know that I can, I know there's things that I need to do. And I just told God, I was like, just let me do it. Like, and I'll quit getting drunk, and I'll quit being so angry about things, and I'll just call it good. Whatever I've done up from up until I was 30 or whatever, 31, like, we'll just call that good, and I'll start over again, and I'll make him the focus and not me. And I just tried to let my ego and everything that I was, just let that go and just focus on, because obviously, like, it's not just me. I've seen it with even other people I know, and I see it with celebrities and everything, but I don't know. I just feel like we're in such a weird place right now in the world that I feel like God's working through, inadvertently, through certain people to get his point across.
Amen.
So
amen.
Take me to what you did. Did you start reading the Bible? Like, what did you do?
I just changed my perspective.
I
quit worrying about me, and I started worrying about what it is that I'm supposed to do. You know, like, it talks in the Bible about being a servant, and, you know, giving up, I guess, my desire and my will and whatever it is that I want to do. Like, I don't know the best way to describe it, but it's about trying to use what I have as a tool versus doing what I can in the moment to give myself whatever satisfaction that it is I'm trying to get, you know. It's about trying to let go of your ego, I guess, in a way. And I mean, people pursue that mentality without faith. I mean, it's the idea of there being something bigger than you, but I think inherently all human beings idolize something. Like, it talks in the Bible about false idols. We all have false idols, like, whether it's our phone or it's a celebrity or it's something we do or it's our addiction to food or drugs or whatever, but, like, it's very difficult for a human to be the biggest thing on their hierarchy. There's always something above us, right? Because we're always in pursuit of something bigger than whatever it is in that moment. And I think for me, it was just about taking everything else, all the distractions and all the other things in my life away, and just ensuring that at least, and look, we all sin and we all do stupid things. Like, we're all just people. Nobody's special or righteous. People sometimes act like they're special and righteous, but we're all just the same thing. Like, but it's just about trying to make that my idol, make God and the concept of what it is that he wants done on this earth my idol versus anything else. You know, like, we all serve some master, whether we realize it or not. So why not let it be the master that is above all?
And so when you made this transformation in your mind, did you then start reading scripture, like, regularly? Like, what did you start doing?
Yeah, well,
that was different.
Well, I guess it's like, now I don't read it. I don't read it because I feel like I should read it to be a better person. It's like, now I try to read it for the guidance within it. And I'm still in the infancy stages of a lot of this. Like, I've read a lot of Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and Luke, and there's other good books, but just trying to, I don't know, like, trying to restructure, I guess, on a granular level, like I guess the neural pathways in my brain that have certain habits and certain ways of thought, like I've tried to retrain that to, you know, like there's things it says, like, and I'll be very brief with this, I promise, but like one thing, ironically, it's Proverbs 4:20, which I thought you would like. So if there's anything better,
perfect.
But,
read it. Preach.
My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. But the whole book of Proverbs is like that. Like, it's not preachy. It's not what you think. Like, it's good guidance. It's like good guidance that you would want a father to give to his son.
Wow. I was listening to this today, listening to him and watching his actions and realizing, you know, guys, when we stand before folks that the Lord told us that he would provide the words to say at the right moments. And I love his humility in this answer. I love that he says he's an infant in all of this. And he reaches over and he basically asks permission, can I read this book? And he gets permission. He didn't try to lord it over them or beat it over Joe Rogan's mind. He, in a sense, it's almost like God directed Joe to continually ask him, what in the Bible helped you? Or did you read the Bible? When you picked it up and you read it, did you catch that? It was like you've got millions of people that are going to be listening to this. And he picks up the Word of God. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No matter how much information they shared in the first half of that podcast, everything got quiet and silent as he shared his testimony, and he was able to read the Word of God. Millions of people are going to hear that. He went from singing a song, thinking it's the end of his life, and saying, Lord, I just take my past and give it to you, and I bow down to you now, and I give my entire life to you. I'm spent. I'm done. My ego needs to go away, and I want to make you number one in my life. Have you gotten to that point today, folks? Have you given your life totally to Jesus Christ through God, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, who's alive and well now, rose again after 3 days? Many lives through this terrible thing that we're going through, you would think was the worst. Many people were crying out for revival for years. And I feel like we are in a revival. We are watching folks change, come together, transform in many, many ways. And I think most of it is grounded, if not all of it, in the peace that transforms all understanding, the Word of God. And so as we continue to pray and lift up all of those who are affected, hurting, going through so much, we are in thanks for moments like this from Oliver Anthony, for moments like a young man standing up for his God-given rights. Did you hear him? He said God-given rights. We're excited because we know so many things are going on behind the scenes in a political sphere that it's exposing the enemy for all it's worth. And yet the most important thing of all is our relationship with our Savior. What an amazing time to be alive, isn't it?
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you so much for how you have just guided and directed so many lives. You've taken many voices crying out in the wilderness, "Behold the Lamb of God, who take away the sins of the world." You are so good. Thank you for Chris, who goes by Oliver Anthony, for the lives that he has been able to reach through his testimony, through his music, and more. I think of the Isaacs also and their music that has affected my life for more than 3 decades. I lift them up to you and all the traveling and ministry they've been doing for years. We thank you for those that are on the front lines fighting against this enemy. You have used so many. You've guided and directed so many. And we just know that the enemy is working overtime to destroy as much as possible, knowing his end is near, the end of this part of the chapter. We ask that those that are struggling with their relationship with you, that you would just call on them to open your word and read it, be comforted by it. We know that we can come boldly before your throne, making requests. We know that you promise that you will take the burdens that we have, remove them, and give us rest. And, oh Lord, we just ask that you continue to protect those who love our country, the United States, and more, those around this earth who are waking up. So we know it's more about you than anything else. We worship you. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you. I know this video went a little longer than normal, but just felt like we needed to today. You guys have been so supportive of us. Again, many new updates coming. I know there's some surprises at you, but just always in prayer, watching God continue to direct, guide, and direct us in so many ways. If anybody knows Oliver Anthony, you could send us an email. I'd love to interview him and talk to him. I think we'd have a great conversation, great talk. Love to meet him and talk to him. And have him share his testimony on the show. It'd be absolutely amazing. And again, we covet your prayers. Please hit that subscribe button and share this video if you would. For now, this is LT saying Semper Fi with Them We Know, signing out.